Well, we're back for another episode of Grace to Stand with Pastor George Sayor and with Darren Stone. Good to have you with us today. We're talking about a subject that's hopefully practical for each of our listeners today, and it is on the topic of how to listen to a sermon, which may seem very intuitive and obvious, but I find that if we actually are a little bit more intentional about the way in which we go about listening to sermons and approaching the sermon and approaching the Lord's Day worship, then we might actually gain a little bit more out of it. So this is a topic that George and I wanted to discuss today and thought that it would be practical for the church in our time. So George, as you are preparing for sermons, I trust that you are preparing with an eye towards your congregation. You're thinking about the people in your congregation, what they need to hear. I mean, of course, you could preach the same sermon text to any congregation, but you know your people. You understand your people. You kind of know what is going on in their lives by and large. And so you're preaching with that in view. There's this kind of communication circle here. So you're speaking the word of God to the people of God, but you're also anticipating that they are the hearers, and there's a communication back, and your desire in the bringing of the word of God to bear upon them is that it will take root in there, that it will saturate their souls. So what are you praying for, I suppose, in your congregation as they prepare to hear the word of God and hoping that will happen in them as well?
So what I hope for my congregation to receive from the sermons is the truth of the gospel as it applies directly to them, in allowing the Spirit to convict them of things they need to be convicted of, both positively and negatively. So negatively, what's going on in their life, what areas of their life are they, we could say the word sin, but where in their life are they not believing the truth of the gospel? In that's causing behaviors in their life to be sin, not pleasing to God. But also, like, how are they not believing the truth of the gospel of who they are in Christ? You know, that they are adopted children of God. And so that's sort of, I think Romans 8, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so I'm hoping that when I'm preaching the word, that it is convincing people of that very truth. Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's, I want to preach for change. I want to preach for changed hearts, changed lives, and that they would leave the church changed so that they can change.
Well, of course, and we trust that the Holy Spirit will take the words that we preach and bring it to bear upon the people of God and use it for their sanctification, for their growth in grace. However, the scriptures are very clear that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in us to willing to work for his good purpose. So we're, in other words, the life of sanctification is a life where we endeavor by all the means of God's appointment, by all the power of his Spirit at work within us to put off the old man and put on the new man, to seek to walk into newness of life. Mm. And with particular regard to approaching a sermon, that's something that takes intentionality as well. This is not said with any degree of condemnation, because I can very frequently find myself approaching the Lord's Day worship, and I haven't given thought to the passage that's going to be preached. I haven't given much thought to worship. I mean, I'm putting yesterday to bed, and I'm putting today on, and trying to get the family all together, and I just show up, right? I just show up, and my heart is not very well prepared.
And you're not speaking as the preacher, right? You're speaking
I'm speaking as a
congregant.
Yeah, as a congregant. Right.
Yes.
And I think that's common. I think that's common for people. And I suppose that if we are a little bit more thoughtful about how we approach the Lord's Day, in particular how we approach the sermon, then we might find the Word of God as it is preached to us working in ways that maybe if we come in unprepared, that it would not. So, and that's even consistent with our catechism, right? Our catechism, the Westminster Larger Catechism, something I would encourage all of our listeners to become familiar with. There are a whole bunch of questions in there. Question number 160 asks this question: what is required of those who hear the word preached? Fascinating that a question would be asked like that. You know, it is for 21st century Christians, right? And the answer is that it is required of those who hear the word preached that they would attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. So I think, you know, have you prayed not only for your pastor, but also for yourself that you would be prepared to hear that word?
Congregants are, you know, sometimes it's a battle just to get to church with families and kids and even older parents that they're, you know, and they're kind of just, you know, almost stumbling in and plopping into the seat. And again, I don't say that with any condemnation. I remember that. And actually, oftentimes in Meadowview, where my family sits is kind of on the right wing, and we can see the pulpit from an angle, but I also can see the congregation from where we're sitting. And during the worship songs, I know my mind's supposed to be focused on the Lord as we're singing his praises in the hymns and songs. But my eye will catch the congregation, and I'll just get this like grave sense that, wow, like these people came today to hear the word of God, to meet with God. And I'm going to be that mouthpiece today to bring his word. And usually what it brings upon me is this feeling of I'm not prepared enough. Like the weight of the moment kind of hits me, you know, and then I almost get this sense for the congregation. And I look around and I know what they're dealing with in their lives, whether it's in their marriage or with their kids or with their parents or with their job or some struggle. And I'm just overwhelmed oftentimes in those moments with emotion of like, these are God's people coming to worship God. And even if they did just stumble in, however, so I know that doesn't answer what you just said, but it was just sort of thoughts coming to me. And often in those times, I'll pray for the congregation that they would have open ears and open eyes and soft hearts to receive the word. You know, Jesus in Mark's gospel says to his disciples, who he's teaching constantly, he's preaching to his disciples constantly, don't you have ears to hear and eyes to see, or are you blind and deaf, you know? And then in Mark 8, he heals a blind guy and a deaf guy to say, I'm the one who opens ears and opens eyes, and that's what you need, you know? And then he'll say, are your hearts hard? Don't you understand the loaves? Do you have a hard heart? And so often when I pray, and now, I mean, my prayer right before the sermon will often be, you know, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts made alive by the gospel, and to receive from your word what you would have us receive. And then the last thing I'll say on that is we know that God's word, it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it never returns void, which means it will always accomplish what it's what God sets out to accomplish in it. And I pray that he would use me despite me and in spite of me for that purpose in the lives of the congregation.
Right. So what I'm hearing you say is that it's a sober moment. I mean, you're looking,
that's the best way to say it.
And you're looking at the congregation and you're like, wow, I have this tremendous calling, privilege, and responsibility to bring the word of God to God's people. And it would seem as if it would be wise for the congregation to say, wow, I have the privilege and the responsibility to hear this word and take it in and live it out as I leave this place for the sake of the glory of God, because that is what I have been created for. And in order to do that, it seems like it would take some forethought to do it well. So, I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, I enjoy college football, and on Saturdays my teams play, and I'm from the West Coast, and so their kickoff time is at 10 p.m. on 10:30 on Saturday night. And you know, if I stay up and watch the entirety of the game, which I don't ordinarily do that, but if I do, I mean, that's an insane time to go to bed, that to then wake up in the morning and take my wife and four kids and myself to church and get there prepared, ready to hear and listen when I'm fatigued because I didn't sleep enough because I was up too late watching football. So it seems like the preparation for the Lord's Day begins on Saturday evening, where you start to reorient maybe your attention to, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to sit under the proclamation of the word tomorrow. So, for instance, I mean, if you have access to the church that we're at, I mean, they send out the bulletin on Friday morning.
Well, that's a great idea.
So we know which songs, which confessions are going, which readings of scripture are going to be, to be sung and read in the service of worship. We can look over those, but we definitely know what the sermon passage is going to be on. And I can take, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, like a 2 hour long preparation. If I know that, you know, the pastor is going to be preaching on such and such a passage, I can read over it and think about it and, you know, and pray that God would help me to understand it. So at least I have something of the sermon passage in my mind and in my heart as I go in prepared. I think that makes a difference. So you're not just going in cold to hear the word of God. You know what it's going to be. I think that would be helpful. And I think that's consistent with our confession. I think that's consistent with scripture to make use of that, to take in that preparation. And then when we're hearing the word preached, we're hearing it with an openness. I mean, in the sense that we're understanding that God is using this minister to speak directly to us collectively, but also to me individually, to encourage me in the truth, to convict me of my sin, to draw me to repentance by his grace, and to empower me by his spirit working through his word to live in ways that reflect Christ in me. So that takes an intention. That takes, you know, I'm going to hear this for me. I'm going to try to free myself from some of the other distractions I might have, and do my best to attend to that.
So it's funny, as you said that, I was like, I had this aha moment when you said you get the bulletin on Friday before, and I'm like, oh my gosh, why don't we do that? And for Meadowview people, we do that every Friday. I've forgotten about that, but you know, it started when we're streaming 2 years ago. We don't stream our services anymore. Haven't for a long time now, but the bulletin is still in our Friday emails. And I love the idea that you said the catechisms are in there. Like, we put the order of worship and the scripture text and a reflection before the service and what the songs will be, but we don't have, like, we should put the declaration of faith in there or the catechism in there. I might consider doing that. But so if you're from Meadowview and you're listening to this, Darren just gave you a very practical way to do what he's saying. Like, you can open the Friday email, go to the bulletin link, download the bulletin, or just look at the bulletin. I think it's even available on your phone app, so you don't need, because we have a phone app, so you don't even need to open the email. And read through the scripture text that you're going to hear. You know, like, At my old church, the senior pastor used to have this Friday Bible study for, it was a men's Bible study. And what he would do is he would actually go over his sermon with them, the text, and then where he was going with the sermon. It usually wasn't really written till Friday, so it was kind of giving him some thoughts. And I always found, like, when I would go to that and then go in to hear the sermon on 2 days later on Sunday, like, the sermon was so much more rich because I had thought about the text, you know. Mm-hmm. And the days when I would miss it, I would always feel like, you know, I felt like I missed something from the sermon because it was your, you know. Right. And so I think that's a great idea. You have access to the text beforehand. You could be looking at it. And like you said, it only takes a few minutes. I also like the idea, you know, in Judaism, the Sabbath starts the night before. That's almost like, I'm not legalistically saying we ought to start the Sabbath early or anything, but the Lord's Day. But yeah, I do think that's, you know, important. And I also think understanding what a sermon is will help in listening to the sermon. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is a sermon is not a Sunday school class, and some pastors may preach like they're teaching, and that's for them and their congregation. But like, I'm not trying to just regurgitate all the commentaries that I've read to explain the text. If I were doing that, there's only ever one sermon to preach and everybody should preach the same sermon. Like Darren said, I'm preaching to the congregation for change. And I think the congregation needs to think in gospel categories when they're hearing a sermon. And what I mean by that is, like, where is the law in this? Where is the ought in it? The imperatives in it? What I'm supposed to do? And then how I fall short in that? And then where's the gospel in it? And where's Jesus Christ in it? Mm-hmm. And what's the indicatives in it? That's what Christ has done. Mm-hmm. And how does that give me a heart for a new obedience to live out what's being taught in this text? And I think so often we come to a sermon and we think we're the audience, you know, like we're watching a movie. You're not the audience of a show that's happening when you go to worship and you're listening to the sermon. You're not watching, you know, you are the patient on the operating table, and the Word of God is the instrument that is working on you. In other words, you're a part of what's happening. And so that's maybe like a way to say there's an active passivity to listening to sermons. Mm-hmm. We are passive in that we are receiving the Word of God, but we're active in that we are the ones receiving it, you know, and letting the Spirit do what he would do in it. And so I would just challenge congregants and people, including ourselves listening to sermon, like, are you thinking in those categories? What is required of me in this text? And where do I fall short in that? But where do I see hope in the gospel in it, and a Spirit empowered victory over those things? And Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. But definitely, like, so often I think we can hear the oughts in the sermon and think of all these people that aren't doing what the pastor is saying in that moment. And when I'm preaching that, I'm not preaching it so you can think about all the people in your life that aren't living up to I'm preaching it so you could think about how you're not living up to it, and then seeing the hope in the gospel. And that's what I'm preaching to myself.
Yeah, right.
Does that make sense?
No, it absolutely makes sense. And I find my mind, I'll hear something in a sermon and my mind will just latch onto it and cling to it and think about it and ponder it. And then the preacher's been preaching for 5 more minutes and it's been like Charlie Brown's teacher, you know, wah, wah, wah.
Yes.
Because I've been thinking about this and then I missed it. And, you know, I don't know entirely how you avoid that, especially if you're as ADD as I am. Nor do I think that's necessarily always a bad thing. I mean, the Holy Spirit might be really using that particular point to drill into your heart. But yeah, listen to it for yourself. I mean, don't listen to it for how someone else or ought to be changing so much. Listen to it for how you ought to be changing and growing in grace, and listen to it not so much to critique your pastor's preaching, I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of that. I think everybody is on some level that, critique your pastor preaching. Listen to it with a, listen to it for yourself. This is for yourself. How can I love Jesus more through this? That's really the something that I think is helpful. And I'll tell you what, for me, it's just a helpful, and it's a helpful tactic to take notes during a sermon. And it's, and I do that not so much that because I'm always like going back and referring to the notes, but I just find that makes me a little bit more of an active listener. Like I'm tuning into what's being said right then, rather than wandering off, or rather than somehow, I've got this piece of junk next to me, and I'm thinking about, oh, what's the weather going to be like, next week? I heard it's going to cool down. We're going to have our first frost of the season. I don't need that. You don't need to be doing that during a sermon. But it's very easy to get distracted by those little things, or start thinking about, what am I going to have for lunch after church? Maybe if you are taking notes, that just helps eliminate some of those distractions, and it also makes you a little bit more of an active listener. And it is something that you can go back to and refer to. It makes your mind a little bit more alert and your heart a little bit more receptive.
So let me play the other side of that. So first of all, I agree with you. I've always taken, especially early in my Christian walk, I took voracious notes. Now I try to just sit under the preaching, mm-hmm. and right. then I'll find I will need to take a note because there's something. But like when I first got to Meadowview, there is something for a congregation to get used to the preaching of their pastor, in the format and how he's going to deliver, and you get comfortable in that, and that's a good thing. And then you get mm-hmm. somebody new. And so I remember when I was just got here, mm-hmm. I speak faster than the senior pastor before mm-hmm. me. I emphasize things differently. My cadence is different. My voice trails off in different ways and in different points than his was. And this congregation, a lot of the people were voracious note takers. Like mm-hmm. they would have, two full pages of notes. And I was getting a lot of complaints early on about, you got to speak slower. We can't write all this down. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't want you writing it down. I want you mm-hmm. hearing. Faith comes mm-hmm. by hearing, and yeah. hearing by the word of God. And, mm-hmm. and if you, this is not a class. So, mm-hmm. so my guidance to the people is, well, they may be right. I may need to slow down. I don't hear those complaints anymore. I think it's because I've tried to vary it up more. But maybe people are sick of telling me, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think I do vary it up more. I have more pauses. I vary my speed, but I think what I've told the congregation is they're also hearing different emphases from me. So it's not that they're hearing from me things for the first time, but they're hearing it emphasized in different ways and they want to write it down. And I always say, then watch the sermon again later.
Right.
And like, if that's bothersome to somebody, like I love hearing a sermon twice. And, so what I would advise is sit under the preaching actively. If you're not able to focus, yeah, definitely take notes and definitely write things down. Write things down. But if you're finding you're having trouble listening to the sermon because you're writing too much stuff down, then just listen to the sermon. And then the next time go watch it and get all the theology lesson you're trying to get out of it by writing everything that I'm saying.
Yeah. You have to do what works for you, and you have to know yourself. I mean, this isn't a hard and fast rule that we're trying to bind anyone's conscience.
No, definitely not.
I'm just a very distractible person. And sometimes I find it that I'm tuning in a little bit better if I write it down, but But yeah, I mean, sometimes you just sit there and listen, but listen with openness, listen actively. I mean, listen, take an active posture to it. And remember that you're hearing from God and from his word. You're not an audience listening to a lecture or a TED talk or something along those lines. I mean, that, I think you just approach it so much differently if you approach it from that angle.
You know, yeah.
Realizing who you're listening to and right. what it is that you're listening to.
So I had my preaching class was with Brian Chappell. Mm-hmm. I went to Knox Theological Seminary, but they brought him in for an intensive, and he had great statistics on sermons. You know, like us pastors, we want to, like, we just think everything we put into our sermon is so important and the congregation's going to remember it. And the truth is they don't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he talked about, you know, the things they'll remember. The number one thing they're going to remember is if you say something they disagree with. Mm-hmm. The second thing they're going to remember is, I think it's the closing illustration. It's one of the illustrations. You know, but what he was encouraging us beginning preachers at the time was, don't be discouraged with whether or not they remember things that you've said. He said this, and it's always stuck with me. The sermon, the preaching of the word is the redemptive moment. That moment is the redemptive moment. And that's why we talk about these things as being ordinary means of grace. So yeah, we want you to remember and retain. But if you're just so captivated by the beauty of Christ and what he's done for you in the gospel, as you're hearing that sermon, and then you walk out and you don't remember the overarching mm-hmm. theme, but you come away with gospel truth and nuggets from it. Like, do that week in and week out. Just listen to the sermon and be amazed at who Jesus is and who God is mm-hmm. and how, what he's done for you every week. It will make a difference in your life. And yeah, we hope you remember what we say, but.
Well, yeah, of course. But there's a cumulative effect of all this. I mean,
that's it.
There are very few sermons that I remember much from. I mean, and it doesn't matter who preached it. If it's Joe Schmo or if it was, you know, the second coming of the Apostle Paul. I mean, it just doesn't matter who preached it. I don't remember all the details, but I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the preaching of the word has had more effect upon my soul and my walk with Christ than any other thing that I've attended to in my Christian life. Even in my own personal devotional time, that proclamation of the word has shaped my heart and it shaped my life and it shaped my thinking more than anything else. And so it builds upon each other, whether you remember it coming from the specific mouth of George Sayer on, you know, February the 20th of 2017 at a sermon preached at such and such church or not. That doesn't matter. So I think the point that I'm trying to get across is that regular attending to the preaching of the word, that 52 Lord's days out of the year, sitting under the word, read and preached and sung and prayed and in the particular moment of preaching where God is using that word to speak into our own lives. And that is a solemn moment. I mean, you know that as a preacher. Every preacher goes into that pulpit. Every preacher who wants to glorify God, who takes the task of preaching seriously, is going to approach that pulpit Lord's Day after Lord's Day with a sense of woe is me. Like, I am unworthy to do this. And yeah, you're never prepared enough, and you are taking on a very solemn, serious task. You're not standing up there to be a stand-up comedian. You're or to entertain or to be a savvy, brilliant lecture. You're up there to proclaim the word of God, and that is a serious, serious thing. And if it's a serious thing for the preacher to do that, it's a serious thing for the hearer to hear it. And we need to attend to that task with a sense of intentionality, with a sense of expectation, with an intention of hopefulness that God is going to work in us, and the intention of endeavoring to hear this word so that we will be changed as we go back home and as we go into our neighborhoods and as we go into the workforce or wherever God has called us to live out our Christian life. So those are my thoughts on hearing a sermon, things that I've just learned personally, and as I plumb the depths of Scripture, see it's coming from both the vantage point of a preacher, but also as someone who is in the congregation hearing the word of God preached as well.
I guess my closing thought is two things. One, I just John 17:17 comes to mind. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus is speaking to the Father, and he says, sanctify my beloved disciples in truth. Your word is truth. And also, you know, Darren mentioned what you could do beforehand, like the night before, look at the order of worship, look at the sermon text, prepare your hearts. We've talked about what you could do during the sermon. You can take notes, but also don't be so obsessed with taking notes that you're not letting the word just bathe you in the moment, live in the moment, apply it to your heart. Don't worry about applying it to other people. Let the Spirit apply it to you. But I would also say, plan on having discussion about it afterwards. And this goes to that family worship discussion we had last time or pretty recently, where I said, you know, my kids know at the lunch table on Sundays, we're going to talk about the sermon. And it's made, knowing that has made them better listeners. And I'm always amazed at things they say that apply completely to the sermon and the text and the point, but I don't remember saying, or I didn't emphasize. And so by knowing you're going to discuss it with a group or your family afterwards, it'll make you a better listener during the sermon. It'll also remind you of things as you hear it from others' perspectives of what God did by his Spirit in the lives of your friends or family that will be very meaningful to you. And so, yeah, man, good conversation. I love preaching. It's the joy. It's the hardest thing, and it's the joy of my week. And I always feel like I didn't do enough, and God shows up and he works in the lives of his people. So praise God. I think I want to close with 2 Timothy 4, Darren, but if you have any closing thoughts, otherwise I'll read that.
No, go ahead and read it.
All right, and then we'll sign off. It'll be a little bit of a shorter one. This is Paul's charge to Timothy. So this is a charge to a pastor, but as you hear this, why do you think Paul is saying this to Timothy, the importance of the preached word for God's people? So he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Now listen, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And so see yourself in that text as your preacher is trying to preach the word to you in obedience to Christ. Christ has a reason for that in your life.
That's a good word, George. Thanks, my friend. I appreciate it. Good conversation today. Look forward to being back next time on another episode of Grace to Stand. Thanks again for joining us today, and we will see you next time.
Bye now.